Hey everybody, welcome back to the Booterverse. I have a very special guest with me today. Vincent Holliday is here. He's a comedian and a wonderful man. I just met him, but I know I can feel the zhuzhiness coming off of him. Vincent, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, you're very welcome. Sorry, I got a little zhuzhu on you.
No, it's okay. That's how we rock and roll here. I mean, if I can get a little quaff juice on you, it's okay. Man, it is so great to have you. A comedian, my friend, how did you get started in this wacky business that we have?
God, it's hard for me to pinpoint.
Did you fall into it like a manhole or?
I've fallen into many manholes.
Specifically,
a friend of mine that I used to wait tables with, Ryan Singer, was recording his album at Go Bananas about 6 years ago now. And other friends of mine, like, hey, do you remember this guy? Let's go check him out. Let's go see him. So I watched him, and I thought, oh, well, I want to do that. And so he got me started on the path, and then here I am.
Beautiful. And here you are sitting right across from me. Surely a gem in the cap that is your career.
Yes.
We're just gonna leave that hanging. We'll just leave that out there.
Yeah, I just pictured the Burger King crown, and I was like, I know which jewel you are.
Yeah, he wants to make it your way. And if that shouldn't scare the children, I don't know what would.
That's the liberal agenda I keep hearing about.
Yes, everywhere. Yes. Oh man. I mean, if we let chains start doing their own thing, it's gonna be anarchy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that McDonald's actually lost 11% in revenues this year?
I did know that they've been hurting. I didn't see the year, but I know like it's been incremental, like 6 straight quarters of decline.
Boom.
And
it's like the U.S. economy,
right?
Circa 2008.
Yeah, they're actually going to start closing some restaurants.
They have, right? Like, yeah. Was it some 400?
Something kind of staggering for McDonald's.
Maybe we could turn them all into comedy clubs. I mean, think about it. A clown already worked there.
That would work. Ooh, I like it.
See?
Yeah. Get the Hamburglar to open.
We could actually start a comedy chain and call it Mick Comedy.
I already feel like there is one.
Go on.
Oh, I'm never going to work the funny bones anyway, so I might as well name drop.
Oh, my. Oh, you know, do you think that kind of comedy is specific just to that? Or do you think that most clubs have an aesthetic and go for that and get people work who fit that aesthetic for them?
So I do know, like, every club does have its feel and every venue. So it's not just clubs necessarily. It's all the alt rooms and the underground scenes and things like that and certain styles that they go for. And with my experiences from the funny bones that I've worked, I've never really enjoyed them because...
Are they not seedy enough for you?
I feel like they're too commercialized. So when people go in, they expect a certain kind of...
A Mick joke, if you will.
Yeah, I want to say burrito comedy.
Not Mexicans.
No, like literally, like, so, you know, burrito restaurants where you go in and they ask you like white or brown rice, black or pinto beans, what kind of salsa, and then you get to pick and choose what you want. And then if you don't like your burrito, it's your fault because you've made horrible life decisions.
You have made those horrible queso choices.
Yeah. So I feel like the people coming into a lot of those establishments are the same way. So they don't go into Taco Bell where it's like, this is my quesarito. I don't know what the hell's in it, but I'm just going to, you presented it to me, I'm going to eat it. They're walking in thinking that this is a burrito place, and you're going to tell me jokes that I like, and you're going to say things that I want to hear. And when I don't like what you're saying, I'm going to really audibly let you know that I disapprove of this.
And then boom.
And then, yeah. And so you can... As the performer, you can craft your art to be what the audience wants to hear. And you can let them dictate to you how you write your jokes and what you present to them. And if they want to hear so they probably don't want to hear any kind of political leaning, you know, if they just want to hear about the funny place where you farted or how weird and scary gay people are, then you can write your jokes about that and you can work there. Or you can continue to write the jokes that you want and then find the venues that want to hear what you have to say.
So, Vince, where was the funniest place you farted?
The funny place I farted was probably... Oh, it's one of many, many elevators.
Mm.
I would say in particular, I had one bottled up. It was my day job at the bank. The director of our department, I did not really enjoy too much. During the interview process, he had a very Ayn Randian interview style.
Interesting. Did he do it in stilettos and whips and chains?
It wasn't a Saturday, so I would say no.
Who's to say? Bankers are, you know, they're expanding their, you know, whatnot.
Yes. So I already had a huge disdain for this man as a person and as a professional, and as every fiber of my being is just in revolt and antithesis of his existence. And it was an interesting day with an Indian buffet.
Well, you know what you've got to do is, it's very nice. We have some wonderful Rogan Josh. It's going to be very good for you. Yes, I may help you.
I hit my floor. He was coming on. I was leaving, and I gifted him with the remnants of aloo green beans.
Wow, just as good going in as it is going out, I would imagine.
Revenge is a dish best served with a lot of curry.
So Khan didn't have it right, you know. Khan, I don't even know why I think he wants to put curry on it, but I'm just not sure. Just not sure. Yeah. Speaking of material that might not be potable for mass audiences, do you find that your comedy sort of is a niche sort of venue?
All the time. So one of the hardest things for me right off the bat is being an open homosexual, where and performing in places where currently they are voting on my marriage rights, voting on the ability to fire me for just being presidential nominees whose campaign platform has round us all up and put us in the cages and things. I've lost many an audience just from two words. I can have a great set and then I can say I'm gay and I can lose the whole audience.
Not half of the audience, but a whole just lose the room.
Mm-hmm. They could be completely on board with raping babies and the inappropriate racial slurs for every ethnicity, and they'll have a grand old time, and then as soon as they find out there's one of them queers in the room, completely shut down.
But I tell you what, I mean, you might as well put Liberace up there and hang him by the, you know, three quarter. We have a little discotheque out there, and Rhinestone Cowboys. I mean, I'll tell you what, those dogs won't even hunt. I mean, I'll tell you what, they'll be lying on their backs in the back porch just thinking about what they're going to, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm.
Ah, Chillicothe. I remember you well. So yeah, I mean, like, by default, when you are the topic of political campaigns, my material is gross and edgy by default.
But it's gotta be fun feeling you're popular, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've just embraced it, because now I feel like, look, if you're going to hate me, if I cannot prove a lover, I'm determined to prove a villain. So I just become the most militant liberal I can be and put it out there.
So not only are you hitting them with, you know, social commentary, but you're also bringing that into the, you know, the political realm as well. They've got to love that. I mean, that goes over always so, so well.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's my views on religion and politics, social issues, and then my own personal love life and how that fits into the grand scheme of things. And they're like, right, but where'd you fart?
And you have a wonder. Actually, maybe one of the most wonderful stories I've ever heard, considering flatulence. And I appreciate that about you, sir.
Well, thank you.
Man for all seasons, really, you are.
that reminds me of an erotic novel I'm trying to write. Anyways, that's
okay. I'm going to... wow, the booter just got a little uncomfortable. Is it going to be a dime store novel?
Sort of. It's actually going to be an anthology of erotic fan fictions that I'm writing. So I have my my Price is Right erotic fan fiction, two in the Plinko, one in the Stinko, and my Bush administration erotic fan fiction. Oh, and the Pee-wee's Playhouse one, so.
Well, you know, that's right. Down here in Texas, I'm going to have to take a little read of that. You know, that sounds good. I like hearing about my administration and how it really touched people in good ways, positive ways. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Spoiler alert, Dick Cheney did shoot him in the face.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I did not see that coming. Didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Do you think your audience see it coming? I mean, when you sashay, as I assume that you do, onto stage, I mean, do they get the sense that this is who you are right from the bat? Because I would have, I didn't ask. You know, I have a don't ask, don't tell policy here on the Booterverse.
Right.
If you want to share, I'm happy. This is an open, wonderful place.
So I feel like I kind of slide under the radar. That's another like struggle that I have is a lot of people want you to be, and I found this also working at certain chain comedy clubs. If you're going to identify as a specific demographic, then you need to be the biggest caricature of that demographic possible. So part of where I struggle is because I'm not covered in sequins and glitter and diamonds and everything, and I don't snap my fingers and say fierce. So that isn't necessarily what some people want. And so I struggle with that, but I usually like knowing where I have to perform. I usually don't open right off the bat with blatant homosexuality. You know, you want to
ease them into it a little, put a little lube in the verse.
Yeah,
you go
in like a duck. You don't come in like a wrecking ball. And
so basically, you have a thing against Miley Cyrus. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Yes. Very. Yeah.
Oh,
I can't help.
I hear you. No, I'm hearing what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So I usually don't open with it, but I feel like I can slide under the radar a lot. You know, I've got I definitely have the white male privilege thing going on. So
isn't it great?
Yeah, it's
Vincent.
Fun.
Isn't it great?
It is a lot of fun. It's gotten me into a lot of places I shouldn't have gotten into. And metaphorically and physically.
That's good to know. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah. So while I don't know a lot of the prejudice that, I mean, like, you can see a woman and automatically know, okay, I'm going to make this snap judgment about her looks and what I think her thing is, or any person of any skin pigment. Okay, that's what their accent's going to be, and this is what they're going to talk about. So I get to skirt all that, but I also get to have all the fun. I get fired for being who I am, minority kind of stuff. So it's a weird line to live between.
It was something that you said about caricature and that in a performance setting. But do you find that your community has those issues to still deal with within itself?
Oh, yeah. And that's, again, like the hardest thing is I feel like as an artist, the measure for me is how true is measured by myself and how true to myself I can be and how well I can do. However, my success as an artist is purely measured by everyone else. And if they aren't buying into it, then it doesn't matter how brilliant I am. I'm not really going to be a success. Maybe years after I die, like Van Gogh.
Well, you do share that first name. I thought your erotic fan fiction would be some sort of Starry, Starry Night riff.
Ooh.
See what I did there?
Vincent Van Gogh girl. I like it.
I like what you just did right there.
Yeah, I cut off her ear.
And that's probably not all. So are you an art lover, sir?
As much as I can be, yes.
Hard to do that in the Southern tips of Southern Ohio.
You know, sometimes there's stuff that's even way too liberal for me.
So are we drawing the line at feces smeared on walls, or?
Yes, the elephant feces portrait of the Virgin Mary. I'm like, really? You had it? Come on, we get it. You couldn't have just made, I know, you hate Catholics and you're trying to piss them off. Good for you. You did it.
No, I heard... I heard that was purely artistic expression, that there was no baggage,
that went along with that at all.
Oh, yeah, it's totally not a metaphor, because if only they had had bowls, then it would have been.
Absolutely.
Bullshit.
I love the Spaniards, because on their flags that they, you know, mm-hmm. peddle around for tourists, they've got a bull mm-hmm. as their national, you know, with some big cojones, you know, just hanging out there.
Well, yeah, just let them know.
Yeah, just saying, hey, by the way, we're Spaniards, we kill these beautiful beasts. But mm-hmm. we revere their balls.
Yes, we are very passionate about our love-making skills.
Do you think that America could benefit from some of that sort of joie de vivre?
Yes. I think we're taking a few steps in the right direction already with the truck nuts. I think we should just hang more metal testicles like from the drones. Just let them hang. Let them know.
Does your drone hang low? Does it wobble to and fro? Can you shoot an unarmed militant wherever it may go?
Love it.
See, I'm working on children's songs that involve drones. That's my new artistic endeavor.
Oh, man, that's going to blow up in the Middle East. I got a big feeling.
They're just going to eat that stuff up, man. They're just going to carry it around with them and just take it everywhere they go. Man, wow. Because I'm all about building bridges. Preferably to nowhere, but
right.
If I have to go somewhere.
Well, I'm glad that that you're tearing down all kinds of walls, not just social barriers, but also to their schools and homes. So.
Listen, in the words of the aforementioned Miley Cyrus, I came in like a wrecking ball. Now, do you comment on issues of the Middle East or international politics, or do you mostly stay at home?
So I do dabble wherever I can.
She said, actually.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's right there.
Yeah.
Volleyball served it to you, and you just gotta. So I do. I like talking about European politics because I think they're very fun. The European Union is a fun, beautiful little disaster. China is one I'm trying to poke at. I find it's so hard because we're coming into like World War III. I mean, all the signs that led into World War II are just kind of building up now, and China's emergence.
You are religious. You've read your Book of Revelation, and the signs are all there. You're reading into it, and bam. See, and for people who say that homosexuals don't read their scripture, you, sir, are proving them wrong.
Yeah, it's all right there. It's fun. What's amazing, so that I found is like China made puns illegal. Yeah. So and
I guess they didn't find them punny.
Their rationale behind it is amazing though. So that they're saying puns cause terrorism.
Well, that's true. that is fact.
It is. The death threats that I've received from my album alone is astronomical. But the idea of masking, like trying to get the message out about Tiananmen Square, which didn't happen, according to them.
Oh, right. It didn't. I mean,
yeah, totally didn't. So the way that they are like using double language to mask and try and get the message out. So now all words have a single definition. If you use the word improperly, then you go to jail.
Well, I think that would make grammar Nazis happy.
Yeah, I think it's terrible for Starbucks. Because it's a medium. It's not a venti. You gotta...
Right.
Yeah.
Starbucks is like, well, we can, you know, obliterate the billions of dollars we're going to make off the Chinese in our coffee sales. But the venti, you know, but for a true Starbucks connoisseur, like, that is sacrilege.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is the holy, like, you can't, that is their free speech, that is their Montgomery moment, that is their I'm on the back of the bus and I'm not getting off stance.
Mm-hmm.
God bless Starbucks and the people who've shopped there.
Yeah. World's interesting.
Now, I'm going to ask this question. Sir, are you a gamer? Do you play board games? Do you like?
Yeah. Okay. So So there's a few things. Like, so in general, I'm not a big fan of, like, the European games with the whole, like, tile placement. Like, no cards, no dice, no luck, just use your skill. See, like that, I like that fun, random factor to it. And then I just feel really racist playing Puerto Rico.
Wait, I mean, the fact that the colonists are brown shouldn't tip you off to any racial undertones, my friend.
I just feel really bad, like... I'm going to make them pick coffee and cotton and...
Don't forget the indigo and tobacco.
Yes, I'm like, I feel my... I have so much white guilt playing Puerto Rico, I can't enjoy it.
You know what? The best way to avoid white guilt is just coif your hair like this. It can't even get in. The guilt can't even seep in.
Right.
But I got so much hairspray.
But I can't, because now I'm... Because as a bald white guy, I look like every villain... ever. I can't.
Right. Okay. So all you're saying is you want some freaking sharks with some freaking laser beams attached to their head? Was that too much to ask?
I just want to kill Superman.
And a comet. Sir, you are...
I'm a lexicon of pop culture references.
That's great. I love that. So, Vincent, you've already come out with an album. Share with the audience what the name of that was.
The album is called Too Soon. It's a little dig on two things. One, it references what a lot of the joke material is about. And the other is kind of a dig at everyone who said it was too soon for me to put out an album. So,
how long had you been doing comedy when you put that album out?
5 years.
Now, in some professions, you would already be middle management by that point.
Right, yeah.
But to do an album in the comedy world, that's a staple and a statement of who you are as an artist.
Right, and it's usually supposed to be about, like, year 8 to 10, and then you're supposed to be headlining and doing all this other stuff, and I had an hour's worth of material that I was ready to put out there to the world, so I recorded and put it out there.
Why not? Can I ask, how did the album sales go?
Pretty good. Actually, I surprised myself. I got debuted in the top 10 on iTunes.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And so are you, with this new album you have coming out, are you expecting or hoping for similar success, or are you approaching this new album in a different way?
I would like to have the same success. Obviously, I'd like it to be even bigger, but I've got realistic expectations of where I'm at right now. But yeah, I've definitely going to take a lot of the lessons that I learned from this first go around and just do them bigger and better on the second go around.
We've talked about politics. Do you use pop culture in your comedy as well?
Oh yeah, I run the full gamut.
You run the full gamut, like George Michael ran the full gamut, or?
Well, I've not been caught in any restrooms yet, if that's what you're asking.
I don't presume anything.
Okay.
I won't do it. You can't make me presume.
Yeah, pretty much like George Michael. I am your father figure. You've got to have faith.
You just got to have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Speaking of having faith, my friend, you have a message and a lot of things that you're sharing with your audiences. At this time in the show, we open it up to you.
Okay.
To share anything you'd like, funny it be, not funny, something serious. We welcome you to an open mic, a carte blanche,
What I'm really working on for the second album is love is the answer to everything. If there is a God, we'll only discover him through science. The more you study the artist's work, the more you can understand the artist. The apocalypse has already happened. This is what he had planned, so we better make the most of it. And love is scary. It's a terrible, horrible, wonderful, beautiful thing.
And like that fart you dropped in that elevator, sir, you've left us with a heavy load. Vincent Holiday, it's been great to have you on the show. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you for having me. This is fun.
And we'll be right back, right after this.